When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sauces are one of the great places to adapt these sort of basic things to everyone's diet. So instead of like making barbecue sauce from scratch, maybe you can get something that's paleo friendly. You can add pestos for the people, the vegetarian who wants like a little more heft and a little more flavor, but leave that off for the pickier eaters who might not be into green things.
Welcome to Didn't I Just Feed You?
A podcast about feeding kids.
Hello, I'm Megan.
And I'm Stacy. You guys had so many questions when we put the call out earlier this year for our first listener Q&A that we are able to do a whole second episode and probably more just from that call out, that one call out. But Megan, I really love doing these. And I want to make it a more regular thing and to have more call outs so we keep getting fresh questions. Although, man, people have a lot of questions. It's hard to keep up. There's so many. We got questions in email, in our community, in voicemail, which I love. I hope we're going to put a link at the top of our show notes so that you guys can just press the link and automatically right away start recording something. It's not like you get a phone number or anything antiquated like that. It's just so great to hear your voices and then to be able to share your voices like we will with one of our listeners today.
Yeah. Hopefully we won't cry today like we did last time. Or maybe I hope we will cry because last month's listener Q&A really resonated with so many of you. And I think there's a really juicy question. I mean, all the questions are great, but there's one really juicy one that I think is also going to resonate with so many of you. So Stacy mentioned our listeners boards where we started the thread and we put the call out for questions earlier this year. But she forgot to mention that it's free and anyone can join with just an email address, which we never share. So if you've got a burning question that we can answer in another listener's Q&A, just go to didn'titjustfeedyou.com/community to sign up, join us there, find that thread, just post your own thread, and we'll crowdsource answers for you.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll feature you in a listener's Q&A.
And also you'll get access to our recipes, all the recipe links for things we mentioned in what we're cooking and eating now episodes. It's really worth it. We have three juicy questions, so we should jump right in.
We should. Okay. One of our community members in our listeners' boards, their handle is MJ Flagstad, asks this really great question that's so timely. Now that all the spring sports seasons have begun, it's time to make dinner in the morning that doesn't taste like mush by the time it's ready to serve in the evening or can easily be reheated by a kid and doesn't need a lot of assembly. We try to avoid fast food and super processed dinners when possible, but I am open to frozen meatballs, etc., to streamline things. What are some different recipe ideas that don't taste like the usual crockpot fare and that aren't super heavy and taste like winter stews, but filling enough for athletes? Whew, that's a tall order, although we did just do an episode that's all about how to make multiple dinner times work, and I think that some of that applies here, don't you, Stacy?
Oh, yeah. Like, I think stat, go listen to that episode. That episode was published after this listener posed the question.
Mm-hmm.
And that episode is a little bit more strategy forward. So I think it's a good place to start because we'll do like a quick little brainstorm of actual recipes and recipe categories. But then to really expand on that, the episode, How Do You Make Multiple Dinner Times Work, is going to really give you the framework for thinking through even more ideas that work specifically for you and your family. We also have an episode from ages ago. It's a bonus episode. So it's for our Didn't I Just Feed You Plus members. It's called Sideline Eats, Feeding Kids During Sports Season. And I think there's some really helpful recipe ideas there. We did talk strategy, but we did also talk recipe ideas. And I want to make sure that everybody knows that if they join Didn't I Just Feed You Plus, the bonus is that you get two exclusive additional bonus episodes every single month from Didn't I Just Feed You, and you get an ad-free stream. So in total, you'll be getting 8 episodes of Didn't I Just Feed You, every single one of them ad-free. But also, you don't just get the bonus episodes that published from the time that you join forward. You get the entire archive of bonus episodes. So there's so much listening, so many solutions, so many recipe ideas that you can go back and search and sift through. And I think this one's worth it. We have a whole bunch about student athletes. We have one with an athletic nutritionist. We have Sideline Eats. There's a bunch of great stuff. So I think those are the two great reference points.
Yes. And because we haven't maybe said it in a previous episode, Didn't I Just Feed You Plus is the new language that we're using for supporting membership. We're trying to add some clarity there. So if you are already a supporting member, you don't have to go buy something new. It's just called...
You are plus.
You are plus.
You're our plus.
Okay.
You're our plus one.
So not to spoil MJ listening to the multiple dinner times episode, but there's sort of like two top line things, right? Where we want to talk about how you kind of need to consider the age of your kids and whether you want to do one dinner for everyone and either do it really early or really late. And the strategies will be different for each of those. And also just consider like what your cooking bandwidth will be and if your kids can assemble anything themselves.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So you have make your own. Where I think about, I do this because I have older kids. I have a 14-year-old and a 17-year-old. So they're coming home from practices at different times. And it's like dinner is happening in waves. So I can assemble something that I just put out and then they can make their own plate. Sometimes reheat it. Sometimes it doesn't need reheating. MJ mentioned crock pot, which is in a different category for me. It doesn't have to be, actually. There's a lot of overlap there. But I'm imagining something that's ready and waiting. You guys walk in. It's 7 o'clock. Everyone's hungry and tired. While the kids go take a quick bath or shower, you're just reheating a couple of things or pulling some stuff that you prepped out of the fridge and plating. Which are you doing more of? Give your kids ages. And which of the types of meals you're doing during spring sports season?
Okay, well, this is full admission. My kids are 9 and 12, and I am utilizing fast food Tuesdays yes. to feed my kids during sports season.
Yeah.
But that, like, just being real, that's a strategy that works for us. And I understand that doesn't work for MJ. It might be general food values, or it might be cost, or maybe there's just not great fast food close to them either. Otherwise, I actually find myself utilizing more and more, really, since we hammered it in during meal planning for everyone, the idea of cooking once and eating twice.
Yes.
So I'm prepping things on Sunday or Monday that will feed us through the rest of the week.
Are you prepping things, or you mean like you're cooking dinner and let's say you're cooking something with ground beef and you're making extra of the ground beef? So you're eating some for dinner on Sunday night and then you're packing up a bunch to use in a different application, a different recipe on Wednesday.
It totally depends on the week.
Okay.
Some weeks I am intentionally cooking something that we might not eat until later in the week. Like, oh, I already have the oven on because I'm making a pot roast. I'm going to throw some baked potatoes in for the night where we're going to eat stuffed baked potatoes. And then more often than not, I am just intentionally cooking more of something to utilize the leftovers. And
yeah.
That's more something that happens throughout the week.
And here's another reason why age and what season of parenting you're in matters. Because also, how many nights a week are sports nights for you?
2. How many are they for you?
Yeah, so it varies wildly. Right now, we're in an off season. And so 2, 3, actually, they each have 2 practice nights, but they're staggered. They only overlap
exactly.
on one. But in season, 5.
That's a lot.
Every single day is a sports for high school, varsity. Like Isaac was practicing every single night.
Yeah.
So you might end up using more than one of these because in certain months of the year, every night is sports night for me. But it's also different because I'm not having to go to practices anymore either because he's older. So I'm home. I'm just really thinking about what's going to taste good and fill him up and be satisfying. Because honestly, obviously, we're food professionals. We love one of the ways that we show love is through food. And like I always think, to come home from a hard practice on your third, fourth, fifth night of the week and have a dinner that isn't quite filling enough or isn't like exciting or doesn't taste good would be such a bummer to me.
And the flip side, oh, to come home and you know there's going to be something really delicious and hearty
is like
a comfort.
Ah, yes. Right?
Yes.
So I'm utilizing all of these. Let's get into some, like a little bit of a brainstorm.
Let's go.
Okay, so the slow cooker was mentioned off the bat, but she doesn't want something that tastes like the same old slow cooker fare, which I'm imagining is kind of wintry stews and, you know, that like one or
thick
two
red
notes.
Yeah. Yes.
So what else can you cook in the slow cooker?
Okay, I love our carnitas recipe because I think of it as sort of like a blank slate. It's very flavorful in and of itself. There's lots of citrus, there's onions, there's garlic. But because it's not like flavored with barbecue sauce or with salsa, you can easily cook it and then add that barbecue sauce or make a quick slaw to go with it or a little like fresh salad or dress it up with a vinaigrette and make it something more dynamic.
Nice.
And then a crowd favorite, like within our listeners community too, is our Mississippi pot roast,
yep,
which utilizes pepperoncinis and their liquid. So it does have multiple, it's very dimensional in flavor. That acidity cuts through the fattiness that can sometimes be associated with pot roast. And we talk about like serving it with mashed potatoes. I don't do that when it's for a busy weeknight. We often throw it into sub rolls and put like more pepperoncinis or make again like a quick and fresh little slaw or salad to put on top of it. And that's very satisfying for after practices. What do you do in the slow cooker?
So I haven't been using my slow cooker very much recently, but MJ mentioned meatballs and my kids love meatball subs. So good. So I'm often putting the meatballs either from frozen or homemade in there with a jar of sauce, keeping it warm. And then when we come home, it's really just a matter of splitting open nice like hoagie rolls and melting cheese on top. My kids love all kinds of curry, Japanese curry, Indian curry, and the slow cooker is great for that. I don't know if that feels like same old crock pot fare, but that's just like a favorite. And you mentioned chilies as being same old crock pot fare, which I agree with, but especially in the spring, I pivot towards a green and white chicken chili. That's from my cookbook that we also have a recipe link for. So you don't have to buy winter chicken dinner if you want the recipe. It's a good way to kind of test it out and see if you like my flavors. And then you can buy the book.
Which I think that's totally different from classic bean and beef red chili, for lack
of
a better term.
Yeah, it feels lighter. It's a little bit brighter. It's just like a fresher flavor, and it feels like a twist if you're always having a more traditional red beef chili. And then, you know, my kids always love tacos. And the great thing about putting protein into the slow cooker that can be turned into tacos or burritos is that it's really about the fixings. You know that is a pretty typical suggestion, but everyone can make their tacos in different ways. And anything where you can set out the fix-ins, I think really works, especially for older kids, for that make your own that's happening in waves. You know, you pull the protein out of the slow cooker, you just set the fixings out on the counter, and everybody can kind of make their own thing. Which moves me on from the slow cooker to ideas like a salad bar. I know that salad doesn't feel like it's the most filling for athletes, but I guess it depends on how old they are and what kind of workout, because especially older kids, every practice isn't as intensive. So, you know, there's conditioning days, there are practice days. So if you cook a bunch of protein again in the slow cooker or throw something on the grill now that it's spring, and then even get a grain in there and a whole bunch of veggies, maybe even some roasted hearty veggies that you prep or you do cook once, eat twice, and put it all out there, you can get a pretty damn hearty and filling salad that I think can be really fun and make your own too. And same for sandwiches. We're like on a sandwich kick. I mentioned the meatball subs, but just putting out a whole bunch of fixings and making it a little bit more exciting. Like get the good hefty rolls, maybe multiple kinds of meat, cheese, pepperoncini, a good like Calabrian chili sandwich spread, maybe some like a nice Italian dressing, sun-dried tomatoes. Like there are ways you can make it really filling for making a DIY sandwich night or wrap night.
Okay, can I take us on a little side quest? It's so funny. I pinky promise will be so fun because it's a mashup of this salad bar idea and the sandwich bar idea.
Yeah.
Which is, I have been seeing so many people use their food chopper. You have one. We've talked about it on Didn't I Just Feed You's Instagram, and make a riff on a thing that they're calling like sub in a tub. So you're taking classic sub sandwich flavors and chopping like the salami, the ham, the mozzarella or provolone cheese with the mini food chopper. And then either eating that as like a salad with a bunch of chopped lettuce or shredded in it, or putting it inside a roll. Again, I think this is for older kids who might find the food chopper fun, but it could be a riff on those two ideas.
Yes, I love that. I think that's totally true.
Stacey, it's getting warmer and the weather has me so ready for a wardrobe update, but I want it to be for the long haul without spending a fortune.
Quince is your place. It's not easy to get quality pieces that you can count on to last without investing a ton of money. But at Quince, I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year.
I love the pieces I bought from Quince last year, too. I wear my linen pants nonstop. I'm so impressed with what I get for the price, which is 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And they only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
Which means it's time to snag their 100% washable silk skirts and camis that I've been eyeing.
And don't forget, Quince has the chicest accessories for great prices.
Get warm weather ready with us and Quince. Go to quince.com/DIJFY for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/DIJFY, short for Didn't I Just Feed You? This episode of Didn't I Just Feed You is sponsored by By Heart. Longtime listeners know that Stacey and I both struggled with infant feeding stages with all our kids. Breastfeeding was hard, and choosing a formula was, well, also hard. We're thrilled to be working with By Heart, an infant nutrition company on a mission to make the best formula in the world. Not only is By Heart an easy-to-digest formula, their formula is also clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit-up, and softer poops versus leading infant formula. By Heart has their own patented protein blend that includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey-to-casein ratio, just like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system. Curious about By Heart? Redeem your welcome offer at buyheart.com/podcast with code DIJFY for a limited time. That's buyheart.com/podcast and code DIJFY, short for Didn't I Just Feed You? Additional terms and conditions apply.
Once upon a time, the Greek myths helped us understand the world and our place within it. They still do.
Zeus, we have finished your weapons.
Thunderbolts, just as I saw in my vision.
Whoa, that almost hit me.
Need to improve my aim.
To not hit me, right?
Live from Mount Olympus spins these ancient tales for today's tweens and their grown-ups.
I, Zeus, king of the gods, command that you listen to Live from Mount Olympus wherever you get your podcasts.
Another thing that slightly older kids can either make themselves or you can put together pretty quickly are tostadas. Mm. We love tostadas. You get the tostadas from the store. You can make the beans yourself and prep them. Or guess what? Get your favorite bean dip from the store and then fixings and layer them. Again, you can incorporate the slow cooker or prepped ahead meat and protein if that's what you want. But even just bean tostadas are delicious. I love them. We're back on our tostada kick.
I'm so happy for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I feel about tostadas. Like, they're so good. And I love that. We talked a little bit about the idea of casseroles in our multiple dinner times episode. And I think this could be a place where a one pot or a casserole dish might work very well for MJ.
Yes, totally. A one pot chicken and rice. There's so many different ways you can make it. Again, in winter, winter chicken dinner, I have a recipe for an arroz con pollo, but that got me thinking about, like, why can't we do an arroz con pollo style meal using all different flavors, using Greek flavors, using Indian flavors? And I have a chart for how you can do that. But you can just find a basic chicken and rice, one pot chicken and rice dish, and riff on it. Like, change up the vegetables that you put in. Change up the spices that you use. And those are great because even though it's chicken, it's good at room temperature too.
Mm-hmm. And reheats well because there's sort of like a saucy component to the rice and chicken. So it doesn't get dried out or weird in the microwave.
Yeah. Soups. I know spring isn't necessarily soup season. No, it's definitely not soup season.
I disagree. Soup season is all the time. And could you imagine like a spring veggie minestrone?
Yeah,
I think that would be amazing. Or like classic chicken noodle soup to come home after a like very rainy or cold spring training session. So good.
I love it. Pasta salads
are
really great. You can make them really hearty. You can add a ton of things. You can riff on the flavors and you can make it ahead and keep it in the fridge. It's great. Stir fries. I love this. I love making rice ahead of time and just having it ready. It's easy to microwave. Maybe you keep some prepped ahead rice in your freezer. That's another great tip. You literally just pack cooked rice in a bag, leave some space. Freeze it, and then it microwaves beautifully. But stir fries are great because you can get your protein and your veg, and it's got lots of flavor. There's so many variations on stir fry across lots of different cultures and flavor profiles, and you can make them ahead, and then you can reheat them, which I love. And I would just say if you're cooking your stir fry with the intention of reheating it, not just reheating the leftovers, maybe not undercook it to like an unsafe place, but like a light stir fry, like cook it lightly and then finish it off in the pan or in the microwave if you really need to. That will keep the veggies from getting too overcooked. But also a lot of stir fries are really great. You know, everybody loves, for example, just one example, Chinese food the next day. It's delicious. It's great.
Yes, prep it ahead and then it's dinner tomorrow night and you can just pretend it's Chinese takeout leftovers.
Yeah. So one more thing before we sign off on this question. We talked about putting protein in the slow cooker, but I am also lately on a mashed potatoes kick. And I think of mashed potatoes as being really hard to make, but it's something that I really love and I make it very rarely for during the week. But I recently was like, I can make mashed potatoes in my slow cooker and then they can be kept warm there. So also roasting a chicken ahead of time and then having mashed potatoes waiting, maybe a bagged salad kit, that becomes a really full, hearty weeknight meal that can be all like made ahead and thrown together at the last minute.
Yes. Or a rotisserie chicken if that's your bag. Like do the slow cooker.
Totally.
Mashed potatoes, and on your way home, grab an already roasted chicken and that back salad and make things delicious and easy.
Yeah, and then anything like sausage and peppers can go on top of mashed potatoes too. Mashed potatoes is a really nice, hefty base for people who've just done a big workout.
I love.
Okay, next up, a listener whose handle is, well, I don't know how they break up these letters. I'm going to say it's AddiePraGT.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. Addie says, we're going to call We're going to call them Addie.
Yes.
Hi. I would like to hear how you cook for different food preferences / restrictions within the same family. Our family of four has one vegetarian, one person who eats mostly paleo, and two are slightly picky. Thanks.
I freaking love this question.
Yes. And oh, good.
I would say Venn diagram dinners, which we've talked about as a concept before, but it is things like bowl meals, like rice bowls or mashed potato bowls, based on what you were just saying, where you make several components and then each person gets to assemble what they like to eat.
Yes.
But what would you say?
I would say the same thing. I would also say that with something like this, it's really important to figure out how to incorporate cooking once, eating twice.
Yes. And shortcuts, like buying sauces instead of making them.
Yeah. So cooking once, eating twice, we touched on it when we were answering MJ's question, but there's kind of a couple of ways you can approach it. One is just basically meal prep, where while you're cooking dinner one night, you just prep a couple of other things. Like, you know, you might not be cooking potatoes, but you're cooking other veg and you have the extra 5 minutes to also peel potatoes and throw them on the sheet pan for Wednesday night's dinner. Maybe it's Monday night and you do that for Wednesday night. So in that case, you're just sort of prepping ingredients ahead. The other way to do it is to actually be creating intentional leftovers as you're cooking. So you're cooking with ground beef tonight. And instead of just cooking the 1 pound of ground beef that you need for tonight's meal, you actually cook both pounds of ground beef. Maybe you bought two because you need ground meat on Monday night and also on Friday night. And you cook it all at once. And then you set aside Fridays for when Friday rolls around. And then there's one fewer thing that you have to do on Friday when you're cooking. So I think that Venn diagram dinners and this cook once, eat twice, however you want to approach it, is really important.
Yes. And using them in tandem, right? So you're like constantly building on these meals.
Yes. So I was a little bit thrown because I actually am not super well versed in a paleo diet. I know I should be, given how prevalent it is. And I think it's fairly simple and straightforward. But I would say with the cook once, eat twice, given that you have a vegetarian and then you have picky eaters. We don't know what picky means in this scenario. Is it texture? Is it they only like kids' food? Is it that they just like sauces on the side? Is it that they don't like animal protein? I would say cook once, eat twice, certainly for the meat,
yes,
right? So that you can cook meat maybe just twice a week, but it can be added to every single meal. And then you can focus on the vegetarian aspect of the dish. And I was looking up vegetarian, paleo-friendly vegetarian meals. And I think that the key would be to focus on hearty veg as the core of your meals. So potatoes, cauliflower, winter squash, even in the quote-unquote off seasons. Winter squash is available all year round, but I'm specifically talking about like acorn squash and butternut because these are really nice and hefty. You can prep them ahead. They become a nice base for a bowl meal. They can be thrown into casseroles. I also think prepping ahead something like a vegetable stew or a vegetable tian or like a casserole type thing that you can build on could be really helpful. Thinking about like sweet potato noodles, riced cauliflower, riced broccoli, all of that kind of hearty veg that can help you shift vegetables from just being the side dish into center focus and then be able to add to the meal with that meat you've prepped ahead, I think would be really helpful.
Yes. We sort of mentioned this already, but sauces are one of the great places to adapt these sort of basic things to everyone's diet. So instead of like making barbecue sauce from scratch, maybe you can get something that's paleo friendly. You can add pestos for the vegetarian who wants like a little more heft and a little more flavor, but leave that off for the pickier eaters who might not be into green things. So I also, can we touch on like a permission slip? We're talking about this from the viewpoint of one person being in charge of cooking, even though it sounds like it's maybe the two adults who are vegetarian and paleo. And I think the permission slip is like, not everyone's dinner has to be the same dinner, but we certainly don't want you cooking two meals for everybody. So the Venn diagram dinner might also look like your paleo person cooking the proteins that are most important to them and then adding it to whatever vegetarian base you cook. Or maybe you're having two separate meals in order to make that work. And I think that's okay, especially if it's a season of paleo, if it's a season of pickiness too.
Yeah, for sure. I had some other specific ideas that I thought maybe lent themselves to vegetarian paleo picky. Stir fries can be all three. And by being picky friendly, again, without knowing the specifics of the pickiness, it's hard to say for sure. But a stir fry can be easily deconstructed and then also just served with plain rice.
Love.
Curries are less picky friendly, depending, again, on what the picky thing is. If it's just like them not liking animal protein, it's very easy to make curry with just vegetables and beans, for example. If it's that they don't like things mixed, you can put the potatoes on one side and the chickpeas on another and the chicken over there. You know, you can separate it for them. If it's a flavor thing and they're not familiar with curry flavors, it might not work as well. But I thought that might be a good starting point as well. Savory pancakes came to mind. We used to talk about savory pancakes all the time, like fritters, basically. Or like, I make zucchini, Greek zucchini pancakes all the time. Like just very little flour, some feta cheese, some dill, a whole bunch of grated and squeezed zucchini. But you can make savory pancakes. I think that you can make them paleo friendly and vegetarian, and kids tend to really like them. You can have a dipping sauce on the side. So that is an option too, with like a big salad, maybe. Frittatas also came to mind.
Great idea.
Right? Kids tend to like that. And you can just make a big volume of it, like cut it up in different shapes for everybody. They can be packed in school lunches. They can be turned into a sandwich or a burrito for someone for whom that works. But it really takes eggs and puts it front and center. Which, speaking about eggs, going back to some of those like hearty veg, like let's say you make a curry or a vegetarian casserole, add an egg on top. Like that's a really nice way to get a little extra protein. And that's like a quick, you can prep all the other stuff and then just fry a couple of eggs and maybe scramble them for the picky eaters. So I would think that eggs might be really important in your household too.
I love that. Can I add to the frittata conversation and just say, frittatas are also quick cooking enough that if you really needed to, you could make one that's very packed with veggies for the vegetarian eater and then make one that's more simple for the picky eaters. Like that's just like potatoes and cheese. And yes, you're dirtying two pans, but the operations are still the same. They can both go into the oven at the same time too.
I love that idea. Like I can imagine just taking a bowl and doing like potato and cheese, pouring that in, and then do the next one in the same exact bowl.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's great. That's super smart.
Any others?
Well, we mentioned bowl meals a lot, and we even have a whole episode on bowl meals. So definitely listen to that for more specific ideas. But I've been thinking more and more about how tacos feel like a kind of bowl meal to me in a weird way. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Is it weird?
But
maybe
it's like
we've
all
just
the components
been together too
with...
long, and I get it.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
Like, it's all the components, and then instead of putting in a bowl, you put it in a tortilla. Maybe it's a burrito, not a taco, but I don't know. I feel like tacos and burritos are a really nice framework for the same approach, and then you're just not eating, you know, ever like a bunch of stuff in a bowl four times a week. You can kind of just switch it up.
Yeah. And a great strategy there might be to do your fillings on two sheet pans, like one where you're doing chicken pieces or chicken tenderloin, like in a fajita sort of seasoning, and one where you're doing sweet potatoes, peppers, and onions in the same seasoning with a little lime juice. And so you're getting a vegetarian filling and you're getting something that's paleo and protein forward.
I love that. And sometimes when I want to cook multiple things like that on one sheet pan, but I need to keep it separate because I imagine the vegetarian doesn't want like
chicken juice.
Is that I'll put the sweet potato on one half of the sheet pan and then I'll line the other half with aluminum foil and the chicken goes on top. So it's all on one sheet pan. I'm not dirtying something else, but the chicken juice will be contained in the little, you know, aluminum foil area. You just like fold up the sides a little bit.
Yes.
Great. We did. I thought that one was going to be harder.
I told you I was excited for this question.
You were. I was like, oh, gosh. Okay. Like, how are we going to do that? All
right. It's a reminder, too, that we might need to talk about picky eating again because we've done several episodes in the early years of Didn't I Just Feed You? And we haven't revisited it in a while.
You already know and love Bon Appetit for giving you recipes you want to make and cooking advice that works. Now, their podcast, Dinner SOS, is giving you all that and more. Join host Chris Morocco and guest experts from the Bon Appetit Test Kitchen and beyond as they answer your toughest cooking questions.
Chris and other guest experts, including yours truly, answer calls on everything from prepping a picnic for 25 to perfecting your mac and cheese recipe, giving their best recipes that you'll have to add to your dinner rotation. Some people consider cooking to be torture, but with Dinner SOS, cooking becomes the ultimate labor of love, making it the perfect podcast for chefs of all skill levels looking for inspiration.
Get your weekly dose of Bon Appetit's Dinner SOS, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. Our longtime listener and friend, Lena, has a great question that she submitted via voice memo. So let's hear from her.
Hi. Parenting / marriage food question. I get a newsletter by a care activist called Catherine Goldstein, who recommended having one partner hold all the food cards for 1 week, coming up with meals, shopping, cooking, cleaning, everything, and the other partner get a total break for that week. I don't know if that would work for my family, but I'm really interested in ideas for how we could be better dividing all of those steps. Right now, it feels like I hold all the cards, and then let's say my husband takes the shopping list to go shopping. He doesn't really know why those things are on the list. So he might end up getting $350 of stuff that looks good instead of the $80 of stuff that was on the list since we had the other, you know, $250 of stuff at home. I also noticed that when I shop for things that he says that he'll cook, he can't always find like the basil in the drawer because he didn't put the basil in the drawer. Just curious how we could be better doing this. And that idea of swapping off entire weeks sounds like a lot of work, but maybe it could be great. Any tips or ideas on how to make it easier to share the load? Appreciated. Thanks. Bye.
Stacey, can I jump in with a spoiler?
Yeah. Okay. Are you going to cry?
Do you want me to? I could.
No!
At any time. Our programming, our content for May is all focused on the mental load, the overwhelm of feeding families. So hopefully there will be a lot in May that will help Lena and so many of us, because I feel this question very much, no matter how far I think my husband and I have gotten into shared mental load or even shared rest, which I think is another component here that we can get into. I still think there's so much room for improvement. And I think there's more mental load that I could share. So that's the first thing I want to say. And then I'd love to hear from you. Like, I feel like we both have strong opinions about sharing mental load and why it's important and how to do it.
I've been through so many seasons of this. You know, it's really interesting because it's such a frustration for me. And I would say that I spent a lot of hard seasons in my marriage, both me and Mike, going back and forth playing the like, it's harder for me. No, it's harder for me thing. Because, and I don't think this is the case really for as many people. I think everybody feels like their partners do a lot. But it is true that Mike's mental load is massive as well. It's just less visible to me. There's something about the fact that I lived and worked in the home and that when he was on his off time, I still felt like I was on. But the truth is, like, our work days, my work day has always been way more flexible. And if I needed a mental health day, it's been much easier for me to be able to, like, take care of that or take care of it sooner and not let it escalate. Like, you know, for years I worked on my own, or I could manage my deadlines with a lot of flexibility, or I just have to speak to you in a way, like, where Mike has had to grind, you know, and, like, he's accountable in so many ways to so many people. So, you know, it's hard. There's a lot of different ways to approach it. In the end, I do think that while Mike and I collaborate on certain projects really, really well, we might be divide and conquer people.
Mm.
And some of that for me has been me sort of really accepting that and taking time to recognize what I'm not thinking about that he's taking care of. Because I would want to tag team with him, let's say on something like dinner. And I'm like, okay, you do part A. Maybe it's like the grocery shopping, like Lena's talking about. And I'll do part B. I'll cook and then, like, you clean and then whatever. And then I'd be watching how he does part A and I'd be annoyed. Like, that's not how you do part A. Part A is done like this. And he'd be like, you can't do that. Like, I either do part A and I do part A my way, or there's got to be something else I can do. And that's true. And that's fair. So for us, and, like, it never released my mental load.
Mm.
So for us, like, really, really dividing and conquering around some of the, like, just keeping the house running business of life has been really important. So I don't know. I feel like you and Brian take a more, like, teamwork on everything approach. Where, like, you both do finances, you do home stuff, you both do childcare, you both.
Yes and no. I mean, I think that's a keen observation from an outside standpoint, because I'm not sharing on Instagram. And unless we're talking about it on Didn't I Just Feed You, or I'm throwing Brian under the bus for something he cooked terribly, it doesn't come up, right? So within our household, there are certain things I don't touch. Like, I do not touch cars. The cars, oil changes, car. I might help drive the car to the mechanics, but I don't touch it. Certain parts of his business, I never touch, even though technically we're co-owners of it. And same thing, like, he might help us take photos for Didn't I Just Feed You, but he's not, like, fully in it.
Mm-hmm.
And like you were saying about Mike, how sometimes I don't want to say that you said you discount. I definitely sometimes discount Brian's mental load, because he leaves so much for work that I don't see what that part of his life is like. And so our tension point in the last year has really been, okay, we probably honestly have similar mental loads of different things. We're both carrying a lot, and neither of us can really see what either one is carrying. Our works are very different. His is very physical. Like, he has to go and be gone. And the actual work of his work is, like, him moving his body all day. Whereas ours is, like, we sit in front of the computer. We can flex recording if we are too tired or whatever. It's very different. But what might be more important and remove some resentment is feeling like we both get leisure time that feels equitable, if it's not completely fair or like if it's balanced in some way. Because you sort of alluded to this idea that, like, oh, when Mike's off, it seems like he's not working, but he's also carrying things. And then you feel like you're not off too. So that's been our area of focus, is trying to figure out, like, okay, because I truly can't give up the mental load of feeding everyone. Brian doesn't know everyone's preferences. He doesn't know what we shop for at the grocery store every week. Like, that's not on the list. That's, like, non-negotiable. It's like, oh, hey, we got to walk past. We got to get eggs every week. Or I didn't put it on the list, but we need some sort of, like, lunchbox treat, because it's just assumed by me. Yes. Could we spend every weekend trying for me to teach him what's on the grocery list, or just what everybody's food preferences are? We could, but, like, is that how we want either of us want to spend our leisure time? Not really. So I don't know that it's like helpful to Lena to say like, oh, this is how you rebalance it. I mean, I'm sure we can, but I'm thinking more about strategies to relieve some mental load for her. Or not mental load, but like physical load. Like, how does she get a break from actually feeding everybody?
Yeah. And I do think it really requires sitting down and talking to your partner, because I mean, that was my point, that people are like, yeah, like 50-50, Mike doing 50% of the everything related to food and feeding didn't actually relieve my mental load.
Right.
I had to come to terms with that, because that also means one of my jobs that creates mental load for me is done at times when everyone else is relaxing. Like, yeah, we go out and we enjoy a nice Sunday evening or Sunday afternoon, and we come home and it's 4 o'clock and everybody's like, oh, tired. Sit down, turn on a basketball game, grab a book, go take a nap. And I'm like, I gotta freaking cook dinner. You know what I mean? So it took me realizing, okay, like giving him credit where credit is due, having the conversation, deciding what I needed to do myself. And then I could come up with different solutions. And that's what I think you're getting at for Lena. Like, okay, so if that's how I feel and every Sunday I'm resentful because everybody comes home at 4 and is like, yeah, cool, chill. And I'm like, oh, dinner. Then maybe Sunday is our order. I used to have this fantasy that Sunday night was big family dinner night. Sunday night is absolutely the worst freaking night to be a big family dinner night for me.
What a terrible idea.
Terrible. The worst. I can do it on Saturday more, because Saturdays they're usually practices or it's not as much family time, and we can divide and conquer. Mike, you take them to the basketball tournament. I'm going to chill or go do something for myself. And then when they get home and they're resting and it's time for me to cook dinner, I'm not resentful. I've been chilling and doing my own thing. So there is some just like talking to your partner, thinking about what really works for you, being honest with yourself, and then coming up with solutions around that, as opposed to solutions that feel equitable before you've really thought about them.
Yes.
Like, I do this, so you do this today.
Yes. The idea of switching off week to week, which Lena mentioned, that sounds terrible to me. Because how do you get in a flow of meal planning and utilizing leftovers when it's fully dependent on two people who don't have equal mental investment into something?
Yeah, I actually could do the week to week thing, because that's another thing that I realized is whenever Mike gets a job, like I have to just let him do it his way. So we can't, I can be in charge of this week, you can be in charge of next week.
It's divide and conquer.
That just doesn't work. Yeah, like you said, divide and conquer. Mm-hmm. That just doesn't work for him. Like, he doesn't have a schedule where he could possibly be in charge of a week full of dinners.
Yeah. So sort of how we gave recipe answers for our two other listeners, yeah, could we give some like strategy answers to Lena that might help just with the labor component of it? I immediately, yeah, think of our grocery delivery episode, which we just aired, because if going to the grocery store sounds like a little bit of a pain point and your husband's willing to go off list and spend extra money, might he also be willing
hilarious
to spend money?
Also, by the way, we didn't even talk about how hilarious her situation was. I know it wasn't her.
I would become absolutely unhinged. And Lena's so nice about it. She's like, I'm sure my reaction wasn't the greatest.
Hilarious.
I know how I would act in that situation. So utilizing a grocery delivery service, I, yep, think is really great. Or even if it's not something like meal planning for everyone, finding a meal planning service you love. We love Cook Smarts. Our friend Justine contributed to meal planning for everyone. It's a great tool where you can get meals planned for you, recipes curated for you, and grocery list done for you.
Yep, totally.
We should also mention Kelsey Nixon's Recipe Club as another great source for that sort of service too. What else would you say? What are other ways that Lena can get a break?
You know, I think budget is an interesting thing, because Lena brought up budget. Who's in charge of the budget? Is Lena in charge of the entire budget for the household or just the grocery budget? Budget is one place where I feel like dividing and conquering is really hard. Mm-hmm. I'm a big proponent in believing that budget is something that everybody should be aware of and make a commitment to, and that requires like a really clear conversation. And FYI, I say that as the person who is not in charge of the budget or our finances. Like, if I could live in a world where I never thought about it, I'd be happy. Like, I don't want to have to budget. I don't want to have to, like, think about it. I don't want to balance books. I don't want to record. It doesn't come easy to me. I find I don't have a methodology that's ever been able to stick. Like, Mike has set me up with so many different apps to, like, try to follow along. So as someone who'd be happy to relinquish that control, like, I've certainly learned that it's absolutely important. If I'm going to be in charge of groceries, I need to know, like, how much are we spending on our groceries, on takeout, on eating out? Like, I need to understand that piece of it and make, like, a commitment to my partner that I am being mindful of that. And I'm sloppier than he would be, but that's a little bit like he then budgets around knowing that about me. And that's the price he pays for saying, like, you do everything related to food. You know what I mean? So I would say, like, there might need to be a conversation there if that's something that's important to them too. That, like, yeah, like, he doesn't have to do the grocery shopping, but, like, he does need to be aware of the budget and make some commitments there if that's something that, like, if you guys have financial goals that you're working towards.
Yeah, especially because a lot of these things that we're talking about that create relief or remove pain points have a cost associated with them.
Absolutely. And I think that we really don't talk enough about how money is one of the main things that couples fight about. You know,
groceries are expensive.
And groceries are so expensive.
Eating out is expensive.
All of it.
Food is expensive.
It's one of the biggest line items. So just, like, really everybody being on the same page about the grocery budget, I think, is important.
We sort of talked before recording about, like, oh, well, maybe she can do meal kits, or maybe there's, like, more nights that they can eat out. And you brought up this really great point that I'd love for you to share and sort of expand on, which is a really important thing that we don't talk about enough when we talk about mental load is what is the model we are setting for our kids or expectation we're setting for our kids when dad goes to the grocery store and doesn't buy what's on the list.
You know, listen, I don't want to create more work for anybody, but especially this idea that, you know, Lena's responsible for teaching her husband to be competent in ways that are just what it means to live like a grown-up. Like, to know your grocery budget. And if you guys have decided that sticking to your grocery budget is important, to remember that and then do that. You know, if you were living on your own as a grown-up, like, these are the things you would, you'd have to figure out how to feed yourself, how to feed yourself without running out of money, etc. So, but at the same time, your partners, and I know that this has certainly happened in my marriage, where after years of just, like, there are years of child rearing where we're just surviving. You know what I mean? We can't have the conversation about every single thing. We can't, like, and it just becomes easier to do it yourself. And then people fall out of habits, things that they'd be able to handle if they were living on their own or a single person, feel overwhelming to do because they haven't dealt with it in years. And they certainly haven't dealt with it when you're also factoring in, you know, 2, 3, 4 other people that have to be, you know, fit into the picture. So I'm aware of all that. Like, he's a grown up. He's capable. He can figure out how to not spend $350 and not get anything that's needed. At the same time, being frustrated and avoiding the conversation and being like, I don't want to teach this person, which is a reasonable response. I'm just going to figure it out on my own, or I'm going to outsource it, and just getting the delivery service and just getting someone to help you and letting your partner continue to live in their ignorance or their, I'm using the word incompetence, which seems so strong, but I'm thinking about that term weaponized incompetence, which has gone around. It's a conversation in social media.
It's even just blinders. It's head in the sand, too. Yeah. Because you know it's going on.
Yeah, right? Like, how can you not, right? If you just stop and think for a minute, I think maybe I'm more sensitive to it, and this is a very gendered thing I'm about to say, and I'm owning that. But I have two boys, and like it'd be so easy for me to be like, Mike can't handle that. And I know that partly sometimes I do that because Mike is handling all the finances and he's working out of the house and all these other things. But like the kid, if I don't see it, neither do the kids. So like, let's have a little bit of a conversation about what we're all modeling here. And let's show our kids that like, if you do, even if we divide and conquer, if I get sick with the flu or I have to travel, like you're a capable adult who can feed people and feed yourself, please. Like, let's model that for these young men who I don't want to go out and have be a burden on their partners. You know what I mean? Or to go out and be on their own and not know how to cope and deal. You should be able to go to the supermarket. You know, there's also not maybe inadvertently enabling incompetence.
Yeah, I think that's such a great term for it.
Just because I don't want my kids to see that. And vice versa, the same goes with the finance stuff. And Mike, in years past, has had that conversation to me. Like, is that really what you want to model? That like, you don't know how to balance a book or keep on a budget? Like, that's not what you want to model. Or that it's like only the husband's responsibility. So, I mean, especially, I don't know, I might also be speaking from a very heteronormative place where I'm thinking about these gender relationships too, in the context of family, these traditional gender roles. So it might be different in non-heteronormative family structures.
And this is the place where, again, we want to hear from our listeners.
Yes,
because
totally.
We know, and we're also talking about this in the context of like having older children or having children of all ages. But like, what is that same dynamic like when it's just two partners and they both work full time out of the house?
Yep.
How are people balancing that? Because there's lessons to be learned from every different scenario. We can talk about what our situation that we feel like is similar to Lena's, but we might learn more from hearing other people's stories, which is part of why.
Definitely think so.
The Didn't I Just Feed You community is like as incredible as it is because there are so many different viewpoints within it.
I totally agree with you. It's the best place to be. And I won't sing there. I'll stop right now, Megan. Tell them where to get it before I keep going.
Hey. Before we sign off, our listeners boards, our Didn't I Just Feed You listeners boards, they are free and you get direct access to us as well as our hive mind of other busy home cooks. Plus, you get access to our recipe archive and things like our shopping guides, or we just shared a whole like pros, cons comparison chart of different grocery delivery services. And it's really great. So to learn more about the listeners boards, go to didn'tijustfeedyou.com/community and you can sign up. You just give us your email address and we pinky promise not to share it with anyone ever.
Okay. And as we transition, I just want to be clear because I think we keep doing this. We keep calling it our community and then listeners boards. Our community and our listeners boards are the same thing. That's where like their message boards, they're all different topics. That's where we have all those free resources, recipe access, conversation, camaraderie. People will be like, I have all this ground meat in the freezer that's about to get freezer burn. Like, what do I do with it? And like people will jump in with tons of suggestions. So community listeners boards, those two things go together. Didn't I Just Feed You Plus is what we used to call our supporting membership. But we're calling it Didn't I Just Feed You Plus right now, in line with what other podcasts are doing. You know what that is. You pay a little money to support us, and in return, we give you great perks. It's a great way that you can financially support these free public episodes. And when you join, you get 2 exclusive bonus episodes every single month. These are full-length, bona fide Didn't I Just Feed You episodes, 2 extra ones, and everything ad-free. So in total, 8 episodes of Didn't I Just Feed You ad-free every single month. It's great. It's worth it. And then you'll also get to be on those listener boards and get the recipes and all that too. So go to didntijustfeedyou.com/DIJFY-plus to learn more about subscribing.
And hey, if we haven't given you enough places to find more from us, make sure you're following us on Instagram, too, where we are at Didn't I Just Feed You? A huge thank you to our producer, Samantha Gatzik. I'm Megan.
And I'm Stacey. Stay sane and well-fed until next week.
Leave us a rating or review and make sure to give it 5 stars and leave an epic comment. Do it.